I'd like to thank YouthLink for inviting us today to make this presentation. And basically, so there's a small core team of us who've been exploring the idea of citizens' assemblies or citizens' juries with the idea of how to help the system within Auraville to make better decision making. We've run this already, we've run this by the RAR, the Residents' Assembly Revival, and we've had a couple of presentations in the meantime, and there will be a GM probably at the end of next week as well. So we're slowly expanding the circle of people who we've been presenting it to and getting feedback from people. So it's a work in progress, so what I'll present to you. If you go to the next slide, Cathy. Basically, the whole idea of the next half an hour is to explore whether or how mini-publics or citizens' assemblies can support collective decision-making in order. That's the basic theme. We'll be watching a movie for about 10 or 15 minutes, which is an example of what happened in Ireland. And after that, I will quickly run through the what, why, how, and who. At the end of that, I will ask the wider group of our core team if anybody wants to add anything that I might have forgotten or give their own experiences. And then we'll open it up to the room if anybody has any feedback, any suggestions on how we move forward. Okay, so now I'll give a little bit of background to what you just saw in the film. So basically, just a quick overview of the process. Slow me down if I start talking too fast.
Just louder.
Okay, I'll try. okay, so the first thing is sortition. I mean, the basic essence of what we're talking about in this is random selection of Auravillians to look at a particular topic. Now, one of the reasons we feel this is a big change from before is that what's happened before is it's usually people who are very passionate about a topic, they get together and they discuss it. But partly because they're passionate about it, we very rarely come to actual resolution on it. And a lot of the normal Auravillians don't actually get to have a say in it. The interesting thing with sortition is the hope is that you get a very equal, balanced viewpoint from across the whole of Auraville. I'll go a little bit more into sortition in a bit later on. So, from the sortition, depending on the topic, you have to decide, obviously, in the outer world, it can be anywhere between 20 to 200 people. Since we only have a population of 3,000, that will have quite a strong impact on how many people we can have at any one moment if we go into the direction of citizens' assemblies. There's also something called a citizens' jury, because the model is based on the jury duty model. So if you're in a court of law, you call citizens at random to actually determine if somebody's guilty or innocent. So it's just a kind of larger version of that in a way. Once the people have been collected together and it's decided on the timeline, you basically get different opinions and viewpoints from experts and people knowledgeable about the topic to inform everybody in that group over a fixed period of time. Then the deliberation, the discussion, happens amongst that group of people, and it's facilitated very clearly, so it's smaller groups of people. So one of the benefits of this is that you actually have smaller tables where people feel more comfortable to speak, so they don't have to stand up here like I'm doing now and speak to a lot of people. So if people are a little bit shy or don't feel comfortable, or if language is a problem, it's much easier to do that around a small table. Once the deliberation has happened, the assembly actually comes out with recommendations. Also, the whole process is facilitated. And then those recommendations, it needs to then be decided what would happen, again, in an Auraville context. Everything we're showing you at the moment is what happens in citizens' assemblies outside. But we can adapt this however we choose to within the Auraville context. And then the learnings, obviously, we get a circular movement. So each time we do a citizens' assembly, the learnings from that go back into the next one, so we can hopefully improve as we go along. Next. So once you've started the learning, in this particular case, number one, a very important point that they stress is that we need to be taught our own biases. So that means if we actually have a strong opinion about something and we're not even really clear why we have an opinion about something, there's actually a teaching at the beginning of each of the citizens' assemblies as to how we can look at our own biases. So from a sort of personal level, we're already becoming aware of these things before we go into the citizens' assembly. The consultation I already mentioned, so then you get the various people to come and make their presentations. Facilitated deliberation and discussion, and again then the decision making and or recommendations. So the sortition, this is a big topic. In the two or three times we've presented it already in Oroville, this has come up as the main sort of catch point. The one you just saw in Ireland, of course, they would have reached out to the whole community of Ireland, the larger country, and tried to find a way to balance representation. In Oroville, I mean, we just kind of brainstorm possible things. Obviously, you've got gender, age, work, educational background, whether one lives in the city area, in the green belt, and what have you. The reason to do this, sortition is just a fancy word for random selection, and it would be done eventually through a computer algorithm or something like that based on the master list. But we need to decide how to get an even balance of people in a room to look at a particular topic. And actually, it's interesting that we're presenting today to YouthLink, because one of the aims is to get more youth involved in the decision making in Oroville. And there are a number of other groups of Orovillians who have very little presence in meetings. A lot of the Russians don't come, a lot of Koreans don't come, a lot of Tamil ladies don't come. So it's really actually trying to see the demographic of Oroville and find a way to get a balance of people taking part. Next one. Let's move on to the Oroville one. So yes, so within Oroville, there's been some feedback to suggest from different perspectives. For instance, if all Orovillians are equal, why should we be dividing everybody up into smaller groups? It's a fair point. If we actually would do a random sortition of just the 3,000 or 2,000 adults or whatever it might be on the master list, maybe we get a random selection of people. Another point was made that if you go for nationality and we have one Croatian person, they're all going to be in every citizen's assembly. Well, obviously, that's not going to work from that perspective. So it's this. However we go ahead with this, we need to actually go in quite some depth as to how we want to do sortition. If we just do an absolutely random from the master list, even the age is an interesting question. Because in some of our earlier sessions, we were talking about trying to get children involved, even in the schools. So it could be taught in the schools. So the question is, where's the cutoff point? At what point is a child considered old enough to take part into this? So these are all the things that need to be discussed, and we haven't come up with the solutions ourselves yet. Next one.
I don't know why they didn't. Sorry, okay. Maybe because it's in PDF. Sorry. Can you work with that?
They should have appeared one at a time.
Yes.
So, why? The basic reasons as to why to do it, I've covered some of them already. It's fair, the equal opportunity for everybody. It's inclusive, you're trying to cover all the different aspects of Oroville. It's transparent. This is very important, that actually throughout the whole process, documentation is freely available, people can read what's being discussed, there's a free flow of information, and even on the level of algorithm, it would obviously be very important that anybody can actually see the algorithms that are being used to determine who's taking part, that nobody gets the sense that there's any cheating going on or people are being chosen more often or something like that. Effective, that there's been a lot of experience that this kind of group comes up with very clear, very strong decisions at the end of it. Informed. This is also very important, even as I said from the beginning, that we actually become aware of our own inner judgments, but also then we're getting more and more knowledge about a particular topic. Sometimes somebody came up to me and says, well, what if I don't know anything about the topic? Why would I go to a citizens' assembly? And my answer was, well, that's exactly why you would go to a citizens' assembly, because then you would learn about a particular topic. So we're actually broadening the knowledge base of all the Orovillians about this place that we live in together. Deliberative, high-quality public judgments. Powerful, because if this takes off, and if we do more and more of them, and it seems to be successful, which we hope, of course, then there's more and more energy behind it and to support it. Innovative, the empowerment and the engagement with the community. Legitimate, so once we get the awareness that this is actually in place, that there's a feeling of, like, the people like me, the trusted, you know that next time you might be actually invited to take part in a citizens' assembly. It's not, you know, the groups over there and us over here. Next one. So in the Oroville context, what we're trying to see is not that this takes over either from the residents' assembly or from the groups how they are today. What we're seeing this is a possibility to empower everybody. So if there's a very hot topic that even the working groups themselves don't really know what to do with, then one could do a citizens' assembly on it, and the result of that, we need to decide, does that result, the decision, go to a residents' assembly to then be ratified to go to the working groups, or does it go to the working groups for their feedback before it goes to a residents' assembly? Mm-hmm. So all these things need to be decided. How can we best create a sense of collaborative decision-making? So this is just one piece of the puzzle. Collective wisdom, a deeper understanding of the collective will by reaching out to a wide group of people, many of whom don't talk or speak in larger meetings. We're actually tapping into knowledge which we're not actually getting available to us in our day-to-day life at the moment. We're groups of know-things and we just don't know what they know. But if we get this random sampling, there's an opportunity there for everybody to share their insights. And we feel very important from an Oroville perspective, this idea of never-ending education, that this really ties in very nicely to learning more and more about ourselves, about the world we live in, and about the decisions that are being made for us and by us in our context. By doing such, we build a responsible and educated community. Next one. There have been a number of examples throughout the world. We just showed you the Irish one. There's also a very nice video from Andhra Pradesh from about 15 years ago, based on an agricultural policy in Andhra Pradesh, which is also a very nice video. Some in Canada, as they already mentioned in the film. But the lessons to be learned, because of course they weren't all successful, some were more successful than others. So if we want to take this up and if we want to follow the idea of this in Oroville, there's clearly certain factors to be taken into account which would lead hopefully to a more successful result. So one would be, once we've done enough presentations, that we would actually run a pilot. So iron out the rough spots, see what works, what doesn't work in our context. A clear focused remit, that means being very clear what the topic is, what the timeline is. If you're going to invite a random selection of Aurovillians to take part in a process, it's very important that you say how long it's going to last, how many days they might need to meet, how many hours we might be expecting them to look at a particular topic, and that we stick to that timetable. If it just becomes a never-ending discussion, people will be put off very quickly, obviously, as I would be too. Balanced briefing notes, so that's getting different sides of an argument, making sure that all the different possibilities are actually voiced in there so that we have all the voices present. Reformed for each new issue, this just means that if we have 30 people for a citizens' assembly and that at the end of the task they all finish and stop, then a totally new selection takes place for the next topic. It's not that you get chosen and then you have to go for a certain length of time, like 1 year or 2 years. You just do one topic by topic. And clear from outset where the outputs go. That's what I mentioned earlier, that we need to be clear, does the decision then go to the residents' assembly, then to the working groups, or the working groups and the residents' assembly, so everybody's very clear what the process is that they're actually following. Next. So at this point, I would like to invite other members of the core team if they'd like to share any thoughts. One of the things that I would like to just start with by myself on a personal level, one of the main reasons that I got involved in all of this was actually when Kathy and Tulasi approached some of us to see if we'd like to be involved. It was actually Tulasi's input which really touched my heart, because she could have had the feeling that she's one of the Aurovillians who doesn't come very often to meetings, and she really had the feeling that something like this would help her to participate more. So if you don't mind, Tulasi, I'd like to put you on the spot and maybe say a few words before anybody else jumps in.
Actually, thanks to Kathy, when she told me about it, I just jumped and I said, well, it gave me a lot of space to participate in Oroville in the decision making. And I know that even if I do not know the topic, a program like this or a proposal like this, if we can work together, what happens is we are, first we are told how this process works, then the topic is explained, we are getting information from the experts. So I feel that I begin to learn a lot. And the one that struck me most was, okay, but even then I'm like sitting here and you are saying, and I feel a little bit close. But then I realized there's going to be, then we are called into small groups and there is a facilitator who is going to guide us through, hold space, hold a safe place. So even if I had a lack of knowledge, I would speak. And if it is wrong, or I felt there's no fear to speak and to express my thought. Whereas in one of our assemblies, when we speak, what happens is immediately hands go up, and oh no, then you are like, next day you don't want to get out of your house to face the people. So I don't go because I feel quite, I mean, it's me, I'm talking about me, and this one I feel like even if I make a mistake, I will only learn, but I won't be shamed. So that kind of caught me a lot. And then I thought about, I speak Tamil and I come from speaking country, yeah, we know, I was from Sri Lanka. So I thought about all the Tamil ladies or women whom I speak with. They hardly come for the meeting, just like me. Maybe they just don't like it, or maybe they also are, no, I don't think, if we don't know what the topic is. Somebody tells, you know, yeah, if they ask to vote, say yes. So they say yes because the husband said to say yes. But where is their voice? Where is their voice? How can they express their voice? Can they also learn? So all the learning that goes on, all the information that we can give. So all this went on, and I felt like once I'm selected, then I get an email saying that, oh, I'm selected to represent all of Oroville. I feel responsible to be true in my voicing, not biased, not something for myself. So, sorry, I cannot speak anymore now. I think I shared why I'm touched by this. I would like for us to at least give a chance to do a pilot project, a pilot assembly. Thank you.
Yeah, I just had a few words. I think, yeah, like Tulsi said, for me it was building on this sense of really enabling people to participate who have not felt safe to come to the table and give their inputs. And I feel the process of deliberation, there's just so many elements of it that I think combined in the way that they're combined here are so powerful for creating conditions for, you know, for people to really kind of grow up in Oroville and how we deal collectively with our challenges. So, you know, it seems like learning how to think critically together through this process of learning that we go through to engage in something like a citizens' assembly. I mean, it really asks us to learn how to listen, how to distill our own truths through these sort of small group deliberations. So I'm just really excited about the potential for maturing our collective process to go beyond opinions. And I think right now we're just stuck at the level of opinion giving without going deeply into what these issues are and the challenges, and even being able to gauge respectfully when there's diverse viewpoints. I think this is a skill set we have to learn as a humanity, and I feel Oroville's a really ripe place to really explore these kind of tools.
Just going around the
core team,
and I'll
open it to you. Yeah, the reason I got involved, very much what Tulsi said herself, but two things. One is I think there's an incredible untapped potential in this community, and we are so used to going to meetings and hearing the same people talking. it has an effect of either making people just switch off or feel disempowered because they begin to feel, well, maybe these people know much more than I do. And I don't think that's necessarily true. And the other thing that interests me is I have a sense there are so many aspects, so many people in this community I don't know. And it's very easy to make generalizations about people you don't know, whole communities, sub-communities. So just to be put together with people we wouldn't normally choose to be together with. So, you know, we tend to choose the people, we like people who tend to share our viewpoints, who tend to have a similar background, whatever. And if we're not careful, we get into this kind of silo mentality. So to be challenged, to be with people we don't normally know, first of all, we get to know them, and I think we get very different kind of viewpoints. And I feel that really a way of enriching this community. And I think at root, it's an act of faith in the collective wisdom of this community. That's what it comes down to, that we can do it. You know, that random groups of people, organizations coming together, looking at topics, getting expert input, will come up with wise decisions. And we too quickly, I think many of us, including myself, think, well, I'm not expert, I can't do it, so I leave it to them. By doing this, we become a poorer, a less strong community. That's what attracts me.
For me, it was just similar reasons. I'm happy to stand up and facilitate meetings, but putting my hand up to say something, I feel like very vulnerable when I do that in a large group. So this will give me an opportunity to participate. I'm quite new to Oroville, but I've been coming and going for a few years, and I see there's quite a few problems that are stuck. So to me, just having another option that we can experiment with to see if it helps with that stuckness is always a positive thing. So that's why I'd be useful.
Last but not least, Nikki, you helped to organise it one thing.
I think when Kathy spoke to me about it, I was super inspired, and I looked it up immediately, and I was like, oh my god, finally, there's something radical and new, and but actually something so simple and beautiful that could potentially shift our collective to a much more strong place. And as somebody young, as somebody new to Oroville, who suddenly feels like, I've come into a place with so much history, and where do I fit in here? My opinion is not based on so much, it's not based on a history that I'm aware of. So I think I'm excited to be a part of something where I feel I can learn more and be a part of the collective and the
So there's a few questions on the board just to trigger some thoughts, but it doesn't have to be stuck to these. If anybody has any feedback, any thoughts, any ideas.
So I really like this idea and this project. And I suggest to have access, even for the people that are not part of the group or the sources like Rando, to have access to the what it's teach the group.
Absolutely.
Because I think this is really important to have knowledge.
Yes.
So personally, because the language and methods, I wanted to be more active in the meeting, but I don't feel confident to speak in here. And lately I spoke with one of my friends who is from London, and she told me the same. It's not about the language.
Yes.
So it's something different. And I'm really enthusiastic about this, and thank you that you have brought this project.
Yeah, I think this is super interesting, but my question would underline what you just said and what will happen with these, with the outcome. Because you talk about decision making and power, but the Irish case that you chose for me was slightly provocative because it was just a recommendation that the government in them didn't care about because they put it in a referendum anyway. I mean, so for me that was it. And also it's a political failure, you could argue, for why they couldn't solve it in the first place. But just to underline that, what will be the status of these deliberations? Where will the outcome go? Will it be through recommendation, or will they have some kind of power behind that. I think this is very important to underline in order to get people motivated as well. And also another question is, are all issues up for deliberation, or are there just certain issues that are more, suitable for these kinds of discussions? This I wanted to ask you.
There's a lot in there.
Yeah. Okay. The first point is, we have to start somewhere, and unless we want to start a revolution, we need to actually find a process which people can connect to, and that's one of the reasons why we're also focusing on the educational aspect, because if we're really seeing the idea of growing a knowledge economy where everybody knows more and more about the issues in Oroville, that's already a big plus just to take part. As it evolves, I think we will start to see how those decisions get implemented or don't get implemented, or the process or the flow of that decision. We don't know. We can't answer that right now. But it's a very valid question, because yes, as I tried to point out, if people lose heart too soon, then the process will stop. So it's a very fine balance between setting a particular goal. Even the choice of topic, which was your last question, I would like to imagine that maybe the pilot or the first main assembly after a pilot could be a topic, for instance, that our working groups have not been able to resolve. So something where the processes that are in place today have not been, which was exactly the case now with the abortion debate in Ireland. So something which is so complex and there are too many players involved and nobody really knows how to deal with it. And I think to reach out to the wider community on something like that could be very beneficial, and then the working groups would clearly see the benefit of having citizens assembly to help them make a decision. Because at the moment, if a working group makes a decision which is not necessarily what a lot of the community believe they want, then there's a lot of pushback against the working groups. But if there would be a citizens' assembly that might actually come up with the same answer, and then the working group chooses to implement it, then they can turn around to the wider community and say, well, look, you know, we went through this very clear process, and this sample group of Orovillians actually came up with this solution. So we in the core group at the moment feel it's actually a very potentially positive development, and that without starting from day one and saying, right, this is the intention and we're going to stop this and we're going to change this. And no, it's very soft, and we just see how it goes and see how it expands. Did that answer your questions?
Yeah, I mean, I have my reservations, but I let other people
speak. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, coming sure. Also that, I mean, sometimes we have a feeling that working groups have their own agenda, and that they will try and basically do that, whatever the feelings of the larger community. I think if this works well, and you take a topic and 30 or 40 or 50 people have sat together for a significant amount of time, they've had expert input, it will be extremely difficult for a working group, even if it has its own agenda, to ignore it. Mm. Because it will have a different kind of, so I mean, I'm feeling that it will have a weight in itself. Regarding the Ireland situation, my understanding is actually that the referendum, the decision of the politicians to take it to referendum, was largely influenced by the citizens' assembly. Yeah, so I guess that they already had this idea, that they actually gathered, I mean, the citizens' assembly, the results of that particular thing, that one on abortion, went out so widely in Ireland that the politicians themselves felt, okay, we can't have it, we'll take it through. So I don't think that was a defeat at all for the citizen assembly.
Well, I actually think it was. I mean, they put it to a citizen assembly to make a decision. And the citizen assembly, as we saw in the movie, came to the same conclusion as the referendum.
Yes.
So they wouldn't have had to take it to referendum. But I mean,
no, there's no way of knowing, because it was widely publicized, the result. You saw the person there, they said basically many people shifted as a result of that. And that went out widely. And that had influence because people felt, these are people like me, these are not specialists, whatever. I think that actually shifted a lot of the politicians themselves. So it's, you know, it's not... anyway, I want to get caught up in the Irish.
But I think we
have to decide what is the recommendation, because if we don't have clear this topic, after 6 months the people is no don't like participate, so the referendum can be the first step, and the referendum it would be no recommendation.
You're suggesting a referendum before a citizen assembly, is that what
you're saying? No. Maybe the first topic for the assembly of the citizens would be this.
Well, what to be? Yeah, the first topic would be citizens assembly.
Okay.
I mean, we were discussing the possibility that the citizens assembly, the first one, the topic could be citizens assembly.
Yeah.
You know, you actually sit with it and say, how do you take this or bring this into
only mind. Recommendation is poor. Mm. It's very poor. And my fear is that after 1 year, 6 months, the people don't okay, but it's the same thing every time. They decide, we blah blah.
I hear you, and I think if that would happen, then it becomes much clearer that that's what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, it comes back to what Alan is saying, that people have the impression that working groups are making decisions on their behalf that they don't necessarily want. And so what Alan was saying is, if a citizens' assembly comes with a clear decision and it's not implemented, then we can see that we need to look at something because it isn't working for that reason. So it brings it into the light.
How did you take that leap of a group of by then very informed people on one topic to even make a decision or a recommendation? And then, for example, I'd say go to through procedure, then you are putting the same topic to a larger group who is not informed, and then you're asking them to make a decision. I'm not sure how we take that leap.
Okay. But the example you're giving is suggesting that the residents' assembly would actually make the final decision as opposed to a working group.
Yeah.
But that's not how it is today. So that's why I said at the beginning, you have the citizens' assembly, it makes a recommendation, and we still need to decide, does it go to the working groups and then the residents' assembly? The ratification, how does it operate? These big questions, yes, we don't have all the answers. Which is another reason to do a citizens' assembly on citizens' assembly.
For example, in Ireland, you went to a referendum, but it's the same. You brought back the topic to the full population, maybe have not received the same amount of information, had time to look at your bias and all the sides. That's my concern about all of it very precisely.
It's true.
Based on what, like right now, we're supposed to vote on so many things this week, and it's huge topics. And
But then, to me, it feels like at least a step in the right direction, that there's a group that's really been taught and given the information, and they've come out with a resolution. So, for instance, if there would be a citizens' assembly on agricultural policy in Oroville, I don't know anything about that, and if I'm not called to the citizens' assembly, but they come out with some policy, and if I read that and it makes sense to me, I'm much more likely to say, look, if I trust my fellow Orovillians who sat together and come up with this resolution, and that makes sense to me, yes, I support it, even though I don't know anything about it. But it's better than not having any of that. If I'm asked to vote on or make a decision on agricultural policy in Orville, I don't know anything about it. So, I don't know, for me it feels like a policy step, but yes, it's a jump.
Legislation voluntary, I assume.
Yes.
Could you reformulate
the question? She asked if the participation would be voluntary.
Oh.
And of course, it has to be.
means that if people were selected, they would be free to decline. But obviously, we'd hope that people would be that would be selected would actually see it as an opportunity to step up into their civic responsibility. And there's probably again a whole, you know, just again understanding of the power of the community to be activated for such a role. So I think there's a piece around that. But yes, no one would be forced.
Yeah. Self-selecting volunteers who are then the same people are speaking up meetings anyway, who are choosing to
And this would be the reason, from my perspective, to, with the sortition, that there should be some kind of grouping of the type of people. Because if we do this because we want more youth, and then you reach out and by pure random selection, you get 15-20% youth on the list. And if they all say no, and then you go with another random selection, and then that next time is 10% youth, and 5% youth, and 3% youth. And as you're saying, by the end of it, maybe no youth show up. So that would kind of defeat the object. So finding a balance between a total random selection and some way of getting a balance is a tricky thing to work out. But, yeah.
How long would such a process last?
It totally depends on the topic.
Yeah.
The more complex the topic, it will obviously take longer, but having said that, well, for instance, this one they were saying it was 5 months of 5 weekends. Mm. 1 weekend a month over 5 months.
Mm.
Yeah. And I don't think it gets more complex than that, really. But, and again, we'll have to, if we go into this, we'd have to see each time we'd learn from it, see, it's also a question of finding timings where the Orvilleans would be free to come to that process, etc., etc. It's complex. Yes. Okay, I'll start here and go around here.
My name is Giovanni. I'm a friend of Orville and I'm a newcomer now. Just to give you some feedback on myself. I have a lot of reservations about this process in civilized, like for Italy, it wouldn't work. But in general, I would say for like, I'm democratic, of course, but I believe in the representative democracy. But here in Oroville, I think it can have a very, very good effects. I really like it. The movie, the little documentary didn't convince me at all. I have a list of reservations. There is no need to go into this because then you focus on Oroville. And I think here, because people are different, it can have a big impact. I have just 4 comments, I will be quick. One is sortition. It's good, the system you will have, but just maybe you can change the algorithm depending on the issue. I'll give you an example, maybe it's a provocation, but it's just a topic that I can imagine right now. So we are here in Oroville, a lot of Indians, and less and less non-Indians. I think one topic can be, do you want to continue like that, or you want to put an entry rule that it's making Oroville more an international community. So far, it's less. If you sort this resident, this citizen assembly in a way that 50% is Indian, then they will never vote. There will be a conflict of interest. And the other point is, like you mentioned as a jury, no? Same. You have to see, so this is how the algorithm should change. And also the people, they can have conflict of interest. So agriculture, if there are people who are farms or are into that, then they may have a bias. So take this into consideration. So in a jury system, I'm a lawyer. So in the jury system, you have the lawyer of the other party. They can say this one yes, this one no, and then there should be a reason. So you can think a way to address this issue. Third, the experts. So this is very important because, as you said, people that don't know the topic, expert will be called, but expert can influence. So be careful because I don't know. I hear a person who is an expert, and then I will be influenced. And the last but not least, I think a number you can think about is 60 people because 60 is the number that can call a resident assembly. So if you have 60 people in the citizen assembly, then these people have a recommendation, they can initiate a residence assembly. Mm-hmm.
So
about
this process is coming from the citizen jury, and from what I know in France, in justice, when you have a citizen
jury what he decides is effective.
In a law case, in a court, yes, yes.
So you just have like 12 people come in and they judge the case and it's definitive. And it, no one is contesting this.
It's a fair point. But at this particular moment in time in Oroville, you can't just come in and say we're going to put citizens assembly and the decision is going to be.
No, but that's but something that is already existing.
That's true.
And completely common.
It's a fair point. Okay.
There was also the roles
yes.
and stuff.
Yes. You want to put
yeah.
one last.
Oh.
Just ideas.
Oh. Did we miss this?
No, it was just ideas. If anybody who we could present this to, we're gonna, there's going to be a GM next week where this will be presented to the wider community in general. So then just the idea of how to, if anybody's anyway interested to help, but also where to take this out and present it to other smaller groups that aren't, because a GM will attract a certain type of person as usual. So we're looking to present it to working groups, we're looking to present it to the green belters, just going out. So also, if anybody had any ideas, they could even help to organize that.
Family version.
For the Sangam, maybe.
Yeah.
That's already in, that's in the pipeline, and it's about translating. And so that one's already in process.
There's one thing I just like really struck me in the research around this was this idea that when you give people responsibility, they tend to act responsibly. And that really landed for me. I think there's something that's really true in that. And so that's something I really love about this potential as well, that it's really inviting people regardless of their knowledge, their background, and saying, hey, you've got this important task to take up on behalf of the community. And I think this is what these examples tend to reveal, is that people rise to that, and I think that's another beautiful aspect that I just wanted to mention as well, this potential.
I also wanted to say that part of what inspired me about this was the potential with this kind of experiment was to build trust amongst the community.
Yes.
And I feel at the moment strongly this mistrust. And maybe a process like this, whether decision making, whether successful, but just the process of it, like in Ireland, somehow changes the community into something a bit more positive. I also feel like one of the two the charter, learning, unending learning, and also willing service of the divine consciousness. So we all are going to serve. We need to serve more. And coming to for your call for the citizens, you're doing not for your own benefit. So there the two points in the charter is already in action there. So that's also something which for me, because you need to be true, you cannot do anything for yourself. It's a dilemma.
I think that's a good place to stop. Again, thank you everybody.
Thank you.